Good afternoon, Aggies and fellow listeners. What a wonderful, beautiful day it is. If this is the first time you've thought about it, for those that are going to school, the school year is almost here, so I hate to bring you bad news. Hopefully it's good news. Hopefully there's lots of excitement going on. Those of you who are working, I hope that you're looking forward to the changes. Because everything is always changing, and it can be very beautiful once the leaves start changing colors. So, though the summer may be coming to a close a little bit, lots of exciting things happening, and life just going on being life. So, once again, you're listening to Aggie Radio. You can check them out on their Facebook page or on their webpage, radio.usu.edu. It's really neat because they have all the podcasts of all the past shows, everything that's been playing this summer, including ours. I'm Jake Grossman, and this is Mindfulness on Air. So like I mentioned, we have all our previous podcasts. You can check out all our wonderful guests we've had on talking about mindfulness and meditation. And so basically, mindfulness is a way of paying attention to the present moment by using meditation, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing our awareness to our thoughts, feelings, without making judgments about them. Basically, it's a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us. It's what's really happening without adding our labels, judging, thinking of why this person or this thing did this. It's kind of settling in and just seeing what's really going on. Noticing the sensations within us, emotions. Sometimes we just get carried away by the story of why somebody did this or what happened, or we don't really settle in a whole lot to just feel what's actually happening. Where do I feel this? Where is this joy coming from? What does it feel like? Likewise, the same thing. It connects us to each other, to really notice somebody that we're actually talking to in front of us, and our connection with the world. We're very connected. Everything we depend on, everything it takes for us to live, is from this earth and from the sun. And so it's pretty neat that when we're mindful, we can become grateful of what we actually have instead of always focusing on what we don't have. And there's still goals and things to strive for. That's definitely good stuff to do. But also it can rob us a little bit of our gratitude and contentment in the present moment because we don't realize what we have. We don't just settle in that things can be okay, even though there's a lot of changes going on, a lot of scary things may be happening. But also there's many, many positive things. And we just never know what's going to happen, what will unfold. It's the great mystery. So mindfulness basically can be, you know, just one tool or a skill that we develop. It's not something, this awareness, this ability to be in the present moment, to help with concentration. It's not something you may be born with or have a little advantage, may come easier to you than some, but it's something, these are mental states that we can cultivate and train into skills, into traits. And so that's what's really neat about it. It can just be a tool to help with depression or anxiety or stress, just whatever you find it useful for. It's up to you. But it can also be a whole way of life. And so what's really neat about it is it just helps us become aware, notice what's happening, and to live an awake, aware, intentional life. So it's pretty neat stuff that we're glad to do. We're on here every Thursday at 3 for the rest of the summer. And then in the fall, we'll still have our podcasts and let you know at those times too. So once again, we are very lucky to have another guest on today's show, a guest and co-host. So it's somebody I've known for a long time, and I'm very glad to know. It's my best friend, Lita. And so I'd like to welcome you to the show. And how are you today?
Well, thank you. I'm doing really good. Well, glad to be here today at the radio station. It's warm and sunny in Logan today.
So if you've noticed already, she's mindful, very aware of what's happening. So one thing I like to ask everybody to come on, even though I've read this definition about what mindfulness is, to help people kind of piece together what we're talking about. But I hope already you've noticed that this is kind of a this is life. It's a living, evolving definition. It can be a whole way of life. And so each guest brings a special perspective to what mindfulness or what meditation is for them. Because really it's your life. It's your mind you're relating to. So it's your own experience. And so it's not like one size fits all definition, even though that's just helpful as a working hypothesis. So as I ask all guests, what does mindfulness, what does meditation mean to you?
Well, I know for us, meditation means, it means peace of mind and infinite peace. It can also mean a lifetime of peace and also a lifetime of healing, because I see the examples in our everyday lives.
Nice. And so what kind of things, how is that helpful? What do you mean by helping in your life?
Well, mindfulness is a vehicle. It's a vehicle for our way of thinking and our thoughts and actions. I've seen the changes that it's done for you, and there's nothing but positive that's come out of it. And also, mindfulness has helped me. It's helped me become aware of reactions to others or any unpleasant situations that can come and go. So I think it's just I'm more accepting of others and myself. Like, my thoughts have been kinder towards myself and others as well through mindfulness.
Wow, that was great. I really liked how you pointed that out, first with the vehicle, and just perfectly where this is user friendly. It's what's helpful. It's what's beneficial for you and in each of your lives. And so that vehicle, just like any vehicle, you may be more comfortable with automatic or with a manual, or you know, you need a compact or environmentally friendly vehicle. That's great. And so it's kind of just whatever helps get you there, but not necessarily there as in this is a goal or some faraway place, a destination, but it's also just to help enjoy the road, a vehicle for as we go there, and also that acceptance. I like how you pointed that out with the acceptance helping you to, instead of blame and point the finger at everybody else, it kind of helps to just see things as they are and accept things. So we got a little bit more about mindfulness.
And the mindfulness approaches, they've also been proven to be effective, like in a wide range of mental and physical health applications. Mindfulness supports your health and the prevention of health illnesses as well. Mindfulness programs have achieved significant reductions in symptoms and relapses in mental health. And there's evidence that mindfulness interventions can directly benefit physical health by improving your immune system responses. Also speeds up healing, inducing a sense of physical well-being as well.
Nice. And so also going along with that, we got tons of scientific literature. I know not everybody's into that, but if you are, there are lots of studies out there, as we've mentioned, how it helps with stress or depression, just whatever kind of you're dealing with, because it's allowing you to be. It's allowing you to become aware of yourself, what you're feeling, what's going on around you. So it's only going to be beneficial in that way. It's definitely not a cure-all or anything. I'm definitely not trying to sell it as that. But what's really neat, those studies, we'll talk more about it, but we have a lot of those scientific peer-reviewed journals that you can check out through our webpage, along with many other resources. We'll go over that in a little bit. But what's really neat that Lita just pointed out, those things that helps with healing and mental illness or just promoting well-being. This isn't something we have to wait until either it's too late or until we're in the middle of sorrows and suffering. We can just cultivate these positive feelings right now and well-being. But what's really neat is it's not just this well, science has proven this, and so it's good to go, because those things that we just have found, that the scientific studies, everything we're finding in the mind, in functional MRIs, by noticing with meditators, the neuroplasticity, or just all these changes that we'll talk about, this is only the measurable effects. So they can, this is just talking about how, you know, a group of people have gone in, they've done 8 weeks of mindfulness and are feeling less depressed or what have you. These studies, if you think about it, as much as they've found and done, it's only what we can measure. That doesn't measure your overall happiness or your contentment until we can find a way to peer inside your brain and see those emotions or inside your heart. So not only is it just very beneficial in the clinical sense, but your own personal well-being that that machines and scientists can't measure. So those of you that have had a meditation practice, you know full well that you just get this, your own sense of well-being or that refuge, that just being in the present moment, how that you may feel alive or connected. See, those are all the things that you know this is a wonderful thing to check out. And for you, for those that haven't meditated before, the same thing. It's not just a dry clinical thing. Well, they found this. It's you. It's your life, and it's very alive for you. That's just what they can find in labs.
And so mindfulness is just an integrative mind-body. It's a mind-body-based approach that helps people change the way they think and feel about their experiences, especially the stressful experiences. Involves paying attention to our thoughts and feelings so we become more aware of them and less enmeshed in them, just better able to manage them. Mindfulness interventions aims to teach us how to accept our thoughts without unhelpfully identifying with them. When people practice mindfulness, they encourage not for you to aim for a particular result, but simply to do it and see what happens.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Exactly like you said, don't worry so much about a goal or what it's supposed to do or who you're supposed to be. And something that really caught my eye is it helps people change the way they think or feel. And it's not so much you're going into, you may think that in the beginning that this needs to change, but that's what's so neat about this is it allows us to see a little more clearly, a little more calm in the present moment to notice what can I do to change this? Or is it something that really isn't as big of a deal as I thought I was? I was creating a story around it. And so some things don't need to change, but I want to highlight that it's not an approach that we have to go and change so then we can be somebody we particularly like, or then we'll be okay, or to change our life and then we'll be happy. Is we can just really settle in right now and find that peace of mind, exactly like you said in the beginning, what it means to you is just that peace and a way towards healing. And it just really helps by paying attention. Not only are we just missing so much and distracted and our mind is wandering, and so we're not noticing what we do have, and this is particularly relevant with school, as it's allowing us to pay more attention. We have that concentration, we're able to focus. And so what that does is it kind of drops the story. We get less enmeshed, as you mentioned. We don't identify with it. So we're not like repressing or trying to get rid of these things or ignore it like it's not happening. We're just noticing that it's happening. And instead of this whole story of why or what or if or when, we just come to what's actually happening. These felt sensations, or yes, that did happen. How can I move through it? How can I move with this and just be, instead of getting so blown around, ungrounded like a leaf blowing in the wind? It allows us to just really settle down, any kind of meditation practice, whether that's formal or mindfulness or just in the moment, ordinary times, so we're not so swept away. Before we get too serious, or if this is getting a little heavy, got a little skit first, talking about mindfulness, and see if you spot what this is from. So it starts out, do you mind if I take Steve Jobs' advice and practice meditation and mindfulness? Science says meditation can reduce stress and make me more productive. And obviously it worked for Steve Jobs, so there's that. To the untrained eye, it will seem as if I am napping. But in reality, I will be quieting my mind to boost my creativity.
But meditate on your own time.
Wow. That just stressed me out and shut down my creative juices.
Just do your job.
Oh, because quality doesn't matter? And so you might not know where that came from at all, but that's actually a strip of Dilbert that actually came in the, we don't get the paper, but every once in a while there's a sample that comes through, and the first time we see the comics in there, it's actually mindfulness and meditation is in the comic strips. It's on radio now. It's pretty neat how so many people and organizations are finding this helpful. And so with that, we'll take a short break, allow you guys to be mindful and listen to the tunes, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Aggie Radio, and this is Mindfulness on Air with Jake Grossman and Lita. And so we're talking about mindfulness and the brain, and exactly how it is helpful. Some of the neurobiological foundations, the mechanisms at play. And so the neuroscientific studies have found differences in areas of the brain associated with decision-making, attention and awareness in people who regularly practice mindfulness. People undertaking mindfulness training have also shown an increase in activation in the left prefrontal cortex, an area of the brain associated with positive emotions that is generally less active in people who are depressed. And regular meditation also results in increased brain size in areas linked to emotion regulation, such as the hippocampus, the orbital frontal cortex, the thalamus, and the inferior temporal lobe. And so I know I just kind of puked a bunch of scientific terms out there on you, but breaking that down, it's really neat. This is going along also with neuroplasticity, the studies finding that we can actually change. Not only does this help us become aware of our habits and our automatic reactions, and so we can go about responding, seeing things more clearly, like I mentioned, and rooted. We're a little more calm and grounded. So it's not a habitual reaction is what this is helping with. And again, directly with the emotion regulation. But what neuroplasticity is also showing, not only can we change our preferences, and it kind of makes sense because you've definitely, maybe some of you have gone through this. You've not liked a food before, and then all of a sudden your taste buds change and you like it, or vice versa, or music styles. You know, we change our minds all the time. In fact, so quickly, we probably don't even notice it. We change preferences. We change our likes and opinions. So many things can change within the mind, but what's really neat is they're also finding that the actual physical structure of the brain. And again, I know meditation is more than just a mind and brain things. It can be the center of your being, a really healing, grounded feeling. And that is absolutely true. But going with what they can actually look at, they're finding changes in the brain as well. The actual structures change. And so they're noticing that these areas that help for positive attention, which is something we could all use here in school, with our families, with work. It's helping our attention, helping that prefrontal cortex, which is very helpful for the executive functioning. Helps with decision-making and planning by putting off like a short-term, right away, instant gratification to allow for a long-term benefit. So like the kids, the studies, you know, you walk out of the room and you put a marshmallow or something in front of them and say, if you don't touch this, I'll give you two when I get back. And so the executive functioning is helping with that, to reason, to weigh those options and to hold off in that habitual, everybody just wants to eat what's in front of them. I know I do. And so to be able to plan and recognize, wow, if I can hold off on something I want right now, it can be even more positive long term. So that's just one small, silly example of executive functioning that helps with paying attention and then also planning in the long term. And so the prefrontal cortex is that lobe that in front, not a neuroscientist, so just going on with what I've learned, and that's kind of the part that makes us most reason, like I said, to be able to plan long term. It kind of sets us apart from the primates and all other things. I'm not trying to be speciesist right now. I'm not saying that we're any better because of that. That's just kind of the area that is aware of when we aware of awareness, aware that we can be aware that if I do this today, I can plan for down the road, and just things like that. So going along with that and the emotion regulation, very helpful to do if we can regulate our emotions and not just explode at everything. And so mindfulness helps us do that. It helps us be present, notice what is happening, and not get caught up in the story and just say, yeah, maybe something does. Maybe I do need to confront that person. Maybe I don't. But we'll never be clear unless we allow the mind to settle in the present moment, just like the glass of muddy water I'm always talking about. We can't force it to become clear. If you want it to become clear, if you want to see clearly through it, you just set the glass down and allow it to settle, and the mud will slowly sink to the bottom and the water becomes clear. That's just like the mind. You're inherently perfect. I don't know any definition of perfection, but none of them hold up under analysis. And so you don't really need to change or be somebody else. That person that you are and your mind just is noticing everything that comes through, all the thoughts, the sounds, that's all just passing. It all arises and it passes away, just like all our life situations. And so the thing is, we like to attach to the things we like and push away the things we don't like. And that's what causes all this. And so it's not being a doormat where we just accept it or just whatever, I'm just going to let it be. But when we allow our minds to settle, we can see a little clearly about what does need to be, what we can change, the things we can change. Lots of times we worry about things we can't do anything about. And so it's really helpful for that. And so it just finds a lot more help that everybody, hopefully, that has tried some meditation has found some of these positive effects. And as Lita pointed out, of what it meant to her and some other definitions, meditation isn't just sitting there silently in some funny pose. In fact, we haven't even mentioned anything like that yet, except for allowing yourself to be and allowing the mind to settle. And so there is lots of helpful times for formal meditation, which we do have lots of groups around the valley and even here on campus that'll start back up in fall. They're open to anybody and free. So those are very helpful. It's where we can go and learn meditation, or if you already have a practice, lots of wise, wonderful people with a great presence can help just teach you. Or if you have one, it's a place you can go and support your own practice or learn different techniques. So that time is very valuable. And I challenge you to notice those times. Notice those times. You do not call it meditation, probably. You probably call it me time. Taking a long a bath, going to the spa, writing poetry, spending time with the loved one, but without having to talk the entire time. You can just be in each other's presence. Like I said, writing, gardening was a favorite one of mine. Just to spend time and just really be, notice the colors, the felt quality of those rose petals in your fingers, the bee flowing by, all the scents, just like walking on campus, of the flowers and the trees blowing in the wind. So it can be a very ordinary experience, but it can be those formal times, which is helpful. But it's not just a stereotyped sitting in a funny posture and calling it meditation, even though that's helpful. Because then cats are meditating all the time because they can sit in different various postures and hold that. And maybe they are meditating. I have my suspicions that they are. But it's not just about sitting there. It's about awareness in our daily lives. And so that's what's really helpful, is it is beneficial in these other areas. But it's really just about being and finding those moments of awareness that you love to do and enhancing those by taking it in. By noticing that. I feel it a lot. We just had fun with one of our nieces. Little shout out to our niece Gracie and to Robin and Ta, her parents, that let us have her stay over. Just being in the moment. Running around all crazy. She's six years old, almost seven, but keeps you on your toes. But if you notice, you're no longer worrying about this and that. You're just enjoying the moment, laughing or stressing or whatever. And it's same thing with like when you have a little pudgy baby around, you're just in the moment. That's why we love those babies. We can just see their pudgy round cheeks and everybody seems to be happy. And you just look at a baby and you smile and they smile. And that's what I mean. That can just be a simple, ordinary, because you're just right there in the moment. You're enjoying that time, probably recognizing that it's not going to last. And that's okay, because people grow up and become wonderful people. In fact, if there wasn't change, if there wasn't impermanence, we wouldn't know anybody anyways. Nobody would have ever been born. And so change and transitions, like the beginning of a school year, just whatever's going on in your life, can be very nerve-wracking, but only if you focus on the negative. There's things we do need to do that we don't like, but there's so much still happening, just as much, if not more, that's positive when things change. Like we're able to know people, laws and rules and regimes can end, and so lots of positive things. Our education may come to fruition. You get a job. Lots of things happen for the positive as well, and so change isn't all that bad. So it's really neat as well, because we can notice those things when we come into that. So I just wanted to highlight a little bit of talking about this mindfulness. It's basically by paying attention to our thoughts and feelings in this way, that we become more aware of them, less wrapped up in them, and more able to manage them. Rather than struggling with our thoughts and feelings or reacting impulsively to them, we can just notice them in a compassionate and interested way. This creates that space we've talked about, the space to make more considered decisions about how to respond instead of react to events in our lives, and just that space to feel ourselves expand. We're not limited to our roles and definitions. We just expand. And so often, rather than paying attention to our experience, we're swept away by it. We're carried along by thoughts and feelings, external events, interactions with others. Some of you may have experienced this, or memories of the past and hopes and fears about the future. I know that definitely comes up. And that's real, and it's tangible. But how true is it? Can we still sit with it and recognize for what it is? And that, yeah, we're feeling that anxiety. We don't know what's going to happen next. But that can be very beautiful as well, because amazing things can happen. That's what leads us, you know, to do all these wonderful things. That's what led me to school. It's what led me to all the wonderful people and things in my life, is just things that we just didn't know was going to happen.
So mindfulness, it can be especially helpful for people with mental health problems such as chronic physical illness or depression and anxiety. And often people with these conditions struggle with, or they resist their experiences, especially when they are painful. They want things to be different. And unfortunately, this struggle can create more psychological suffering. And most of us have experienced this to some extent. For example, a blistering headache can seem worse if we also get upset because it's preventing us enjoying something that we're looking forward to do. So mindfulness, it's just a way of experiencing things as they are by just paying careful attention to how things are, just in a non-judgmental way. We can see what's happening more accurately and respond more effectively in all the areas of our lives. So in this way, it enhances our quality of life and also our well-being.
Perfect. So it's a being with, but it's kind of an active thing as well. Noticing things as they are, as Lita just mentioned, and see them happening more accurately and respond more effectively in all areas. And it enhances our quality of life and well-being. So again, this just highlights, it's really paying attention to what we already do have. So many wonderful things. I cannot speak for everybody. We go through so much sorrows, and there is a lot of pain in our lives, in our bodies, and in our world. This is not a cure-all, and this is no way saying that it'll just be okay or just meditate. Things do need to change. But we'll never know what needs to change and what can just be if we're not clear about it, if we're not opening our hearts and minds and letting life in, letting life flow through us. Because lots of times life is a lot safer than the stories we tell about it. So it just always reminds me of the story of the toothache. I know I've mentioned this a couple of times, but the simile of the toothache I really like sharing, just because to me, it was a great lesson, and it was also my lesson, my personal experience, when I had a previous work done, like a root canal, and so half of my tooth was already had a feeling, so it wasn't quite a root canal yet. And one day it broke, the entire filling, and the rest of the tooth, 3/4 of it, broke. And I just kind of dealt with it, because it wasn't a big deal in the beginning. And eventually over time, over a couple weeks and months, it started really getting a little testy, a little trying this all out instead of just saying, it's okay, it's a broken tooth. Really starting to feel that pain, really starting to go through it. But even then, I could just still notice, it's painful, I can be with it, it's not too bad. Well, eventually, that rotting, that broken stuff, because the filling has come out, and so what was already nasty there before is now exposed, and it's going down to the root, and then the pain is just pulsing into my jaw, and it was finals week coming up. Little confession, dentist is where I try to be most mindful. No offense to you guys, it's something I work on, and so it's how do I be mindful and present there and keep calm in this situation, you know, put my money where my mouth is and try the practices out. And so it's really hard. That's a phobia almost. And so I was just as scared. I was just as scared of going there as I was. In fact, I was a lot more comfortable with dealing with the pain than I was going in and facing my fears. And so eventually what started happening is that started going down in my jaw. Lots of pulsing, lots of pain, keeping me up all night, which did give me time to do lots of reading and some meditation. But at the same time, it just started getting really bad. And it's just at one of those times, in the middle of the night, recognizing when the pain was just so horrible, you know how this feels. And again, just fill in the blank, it doesn't have to be a tooth. When we're going through these real times, the tangible pain, the tangible suffering is there. There's no ignoring it. If you've had this happen or anything else. And so it was just a way of, there's nothing you could do. Should I have gone and taken care of it before? Yes, but I was trying to wait till after finals so I didn't have to go through that and have all the swelling and everything. And so, yeah, I could have been more mindful about many things along this way. But at this time, at 3 a.m, there's nothing I could do. Nobody was going to fix it. There's just nothing I could do. And start, like, what if I lose? What if there's infection goes in my jaw and they have to remove it? So then all the mind, the thoughts and worries, the storyline goes off and starts carrying me away, going into teaching. What happens when my jaw just falls out? I'm not able to teach anymore. So you see how these stories just spun off all chaotically. But what it came down to is the only thing that got me through that is noticing, yes, this is very painful. It is a broken tooth, but it was just one tooth. As much as it was taking over my mind, my contentment and well-being, as long as I could just remember that and be with it a little bit, that is just one tooth. There was still dozens of other healthy teeth in my mouth. My mouth is still there. I'm still able to see. I'm still able to do many, many things. There's no broken bones at this time in my body. So what I'm pointing out is, as miserable, as ornery as I was getting in my relations with having this take over, is coming back and recognizing that it's one tooth. So many things. So many health. There's still so much health, physical health that I was still experiencing. Wonderful people around me. So many things going right in my life. And so remembering that helped me a little bit to get through that time period and still how to take care of it. So this is in no way saying that we can just get rid of it and not worry about it or meditate things away or running away. We're confronting life in an open, curious way. And so just remembering that helped out a lot. And I like to use that simile that when things aren't going well, how many things still are? A lot of things still are. And so it's very, very wonderful to point that out. So once again, I'd like to thank you for being on the show and sharing your presence. And thanks to Lito with your insights and being here. And we'll do a little bit of this for ourselves. Check this out and see what mindfulness and meditation does for you in an open, curious way. But before I do that, is there any last thoughts?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the mind is the forerunner of all things. And when we speak or act with an untrained mind, suffering follows, just like that of the track of a wheel that follows the vehicle. The mind is the forerunner of all things. So a well-trained mind leads to joy, just like a shadow that never leaves us.
Wow. Thank you. That's perfect. Really highlighting that when we cultivate our mind, everything we know is from our mind. Everything we experience, the mind is there. And just as you said, the mind is the forerunner of all things. And so if we focus on the negative, if we cause unhealthy, unwholesome, which means it leads to more pain and suffering, that cycle, then that's what follows. If we plant those seeds, that's what grows. But likewise, when we cultivate our mind, when it's trained, not as in a disciplined, focused, effortful way, but just being aware and noticing that and working with the mind, cultivating it, that's the word I'm looking for, is cultivating it. When we plant those wholesome seeds, which leads to happiness and contentment, that's what I mean by wholesome, is when we create those causes and conditions, those are the results that happen. So perfect, highlighting that and pointing that out. And so folks, if you'd like to take a moment to notice what's going on around you, you can do this practice just where you are. Unless you're driving, do not try meditating while you're driving, unless it's just by becoming aware, relaxing the hands and shoulders and noticing everything around you. But other than that, if you're studying, working, packing and moving, cleaning, doing the dishes, typing, just notice what you're doing. Become aware of the sounds, keyboard clicking, paper, a fan blowing, birds or people talking, traffic. Not really going off thinking about it or even labeling it. Just allow yourself to notice what you're hearing and seeing, what you're feeling, the physical feeling, what's in your hands, what are they touching? Are you sitting in a chair? Notice the contact with your sit bones in the chair, or your back against it, or your feet on the ground. Just bring your awareness to what's happening right now. What's your experience like? Not judging it. Not what you're wishing it was like, what you're pushing away or wishing was happening, your reaction to even this. But just notice the felt quality of your experience. Feel your breath as you relax on the out-breath. Taking a long, slow, deep inhale. Feeling the lungs, the aliveness of the breath, energy coming in. Long, slow exhale as you release the tension, releasing the toxins built up in our body. Any stress, any worries from what has happened today or what will happen, just for this moment, just see if it'll be okay to just set those down just for right now and allow yourself to be, to just feel the breath. You may be thinking this is so simple or boring, or why would I feel the breath? But we're breathing constantly, awake or asleep, and have you noticed what it feels like to breathe? How do you know you are breathing? Other than the, well, because it's obvious I'm alive. How do you know that? The felt quality from the inside. What does it really feel like? As if your mind was located where you're feeling the breath right now. What does it feel like to breathe? To be alive. Feeling the lungs or chest expand, shoulders rise, belly. Just notice where you feel the breath the most and release the tension as you breathe out, not forcing anything or creating anything. As thoughts and worries come into the mind, we just notice those. Become aware of them as thoughts. A sensation in the body. It's a sensation with some thoughts around it. Just feel it all arise and pass away. Everything arises and then let go. Just as the breath comes in and then goes out. as the waves come on the shore and then go back out. This is a great practice to just simply relax, but at the same time to cultivate the mind, to pay attention to what's happening, and to really just enjoy being alive for a moment. May still have lots of things to accomplish, lots of things to get done on the checklist. But it's also great to just enjoy the journey. So we're not just racing till death. Allowing the breath to move. And as you stay mindful of the breath in the background, bring your awareness to the top of your head, feeling any sensations. Relax your head. Just on each out-breath, allow that to melt down the back of the head. Relaxing your face. Just become aware if you hold any tension around your eyes. Allow them to relax, like they're just floating. Relax your jaw, your throat and neck. Just anything you're worrying or holding on right now, allow that to melt down the shoulders, down the arms, relaxing your palms and fingers. Feeling the breath come in through the chest, relaxing. Feel the breath come in right through the shoulder blades as if you're breathing right there. What does it feel like to breathe through the shoulder blades, relaxing down the spine, draining out any tension down the organs, down the back, releasing your low back and hips, allowing your thighs to relax, hamstrings, quads, relaxing the knees. They do so much work for us. Relax the shins and calves. Releasing the ankles, the top of your feet, the bottom, down and out your toes. Just feel as if you're completely porous. And you're just allowing the breath flow through you. You're not trying to create any experience or even changing what you're doing right now. Just hold that perception that the whole body is breathing. Just breathing through, releasing any tension in all the muscles, and letting go as you breathe out. Just allowing the breath to flow through you. Allowing life to flow through you. And just in this moment, ask yourself, what would it be like to just be? And I don't mean just be not doing anything physical, but to just be with whatever you're doing, be with life, whether that's moving, cleaning, studying, relaxing. Just to be with it, doing what you can, doing the best you can, but also recognizing that all your limitations and suffering is impersonal, part of life and what connects us with others. Just notice what it would be like to just allow life to unfold as it is, clearly, without our labels and judgments. And we can always become mindful of our breath. We can always become mindful of our sensations, our emotions, our feelings, even our reactions to them, folks. And so it's not something we have to run away from and make time. That'd be great to have that downtime, that me time we talked about. But it's also just becoming aware of what we're doing in this moment. So like I mentioned, this is our weekly show, Mindfulness on Air. We have all our podcasts on radio.usu.edu, all the past shows with wonderful students, professors, psychologists, yogis, and everything in between. Lots of wisdom, lots of great practices, and lots of material on our webpage. So if you're a student and have an A number, you can log into MyUSU. Your MyUSU portal is where you see all your the banner, Canvas, all your accounts. There's a little box that says My Communities or View Communities, either the top left or the bottom left, however you have your page set up. And if you click on View Communities or Manage, that'll give you the list of all the organizations on that page. And the Meditation Club is on there. You have to click Join on the right. That allows you to open up the folder next to it, and then you can go in and see all the resources there. So this is not just me. This is not, there's no monopoly on it. This is just open-handedly offered if you find it helpful. If not, I still challenge you to still inquire into it, because there's many other paths and techniques, many, many resources. A lot of them are on that page. So once you're in there through MyUSU, View Communities, you join and open, that's when you can go in and see all the upcoming retreats that we have, or visiting teachers, giving talks, teaching meditation, guided meditations, many, many links to lots of organizations, free materials, books, how-to guides, anything to teach you meditation or to support your practice already or to learn. It's really just about what's working for you. Somebody once said meditation is what works. And so whatever works for you is what's helpful. But you have to look for it. You have to find that. And the search is what it's all about. If you're not a student, you can always email us at usumeditationclub@gmail.com. That's usumeditationclub@gmail.com. And we can send you any of those resources. Like I said, there's lots on there. This is just ones that we've checked out and found very helpful with all those resources. There's also lots of groups around the valley that meditate, along with we'll have the student meditation, which isn't just for students. Faculty comes, and even the public. It's open to all. It's free resource here on campus. Once fall semester starts in 2 or 3 weeks, I can get the room scheduled, and we'll know where. We'll be announcing that. But along with that, there's other groups in the valley. Do you have any thoughts or announcements on that?
Yes, we do have a yoga meditation here in Cache Valley. It's by the Amrita Yoga Sangha, and that's Wednesday evenings here in Logan, 596 East and 900 North. And that's at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship House, just on the corner of 600 East and 900 North. That's Wednesday nights at 7 p.m.
And then there's also Monday nights at 7:15 to 8:45 at the same place. All those addresses, those times, they're all on our page as well that I just mentioned, if you go to, as well as Nithya Shanti, who was on a couple weeks ago. Very, very wise, wonderful presence, very helpful for many, many people. And he has teachings on SoundCloud. That information, again, is on our page. And he is temporarily right now, because he actually goes around the world giving teachings and lectures and joy shops, not just workshops, but joy shops where people actually enjoy being there. And that information's on there. He is right now Thursday nights at the Unitarian Church House from 7 to 9 p.m. So lots of great stuff. We have meditation on campus coming up in the fall. These three sanghas, which is a group of meditators. Wonderful community, wonderful things happening. Lots of great stuff, folks. So let us know anything you'd wish through our email, usumeditationclub@gmail.com. Once again, you're listening to Aggie Radio, and this was Mindfulness on Air. Everybody, be mindful, be safe, and enjoy your weekend.
This is Raccoon Dog, and you're listening to Aggie Radio.
SLC Concerts presents Emery as Cities Burn, Tuesday, August 11th at In the Venue. Tickets and other details can be found online at saltlakecityconcerts.net. Emery as Cities Burn, Tuesday, August 11th, In the Venue. Aggie Radio, for the students, by the students.